Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Roger Dodger here. Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. I guess we've all been there. Wait.
That's a different show.
I'm so sorry. Different show. Totally different show. Hey, Kelly, it's good to be here.
I like that show. It'll be on in about 12 hours for people who are interested. Tune to your classic rock station, 101.3.
KTDO. Sorry.
All right. Also with me today, I have John Martellaro. Follow that, John.
Happy Bomb Cyclone Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How you doing over there, John? Is it cold?
It's a blizzard.
It's really?
It's not so much the cold as it is the horizontal blowing snow.
It's not the temperature as much as it is the weather that's really aggravating right now for John.
Yeah, Denver's pretty much shut down.
Oh, no. Okay, so I want to talk to you all today about our first topic. And our first topic is something that John wrote up, which is the impending Apple event, now that it's been confirmed. And John, you had some more thoughts about that.
Wait, hold on. I need to get tense. No, okay. I'll just let John talk. That'll take care of it. Go ahead, John.
Squeak, 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 squeak. Winding up like a little clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So I'll let you know when it's time to unload. But nobody has talked about how every streaming service has its good points and bad shows, has critics and viewers like some shows, they don't like other shows. Everybody's been in this Pollyanna-esque phase where everything Apple does on the content is going to be great, and kind of overlooking the issues of dealing with the vagaries of Hollywood and the soft issues of television production and the frustrations that are associated with that, and the impending response from the critics, which will come when Apple finally rolls out the service for good. They're just announcing it on March 25th, as we understand it. And so I started talking about how this is a new source of frustration for Apple executives. Before, it was the glorious iPods, glorious iPads, glorious phones. And now we're going to have video content with drama, and some people are going to like it and some people aren't. There's going to be behind the scenes tensions. And this is different than Apple's used to fundamentally. And I think it's going to create some new sources of frustration for Apple that they hadn't seen before. Brian?
Well, that was carefully pitched. Is that your UPS going off, John?
Yes. We're having power fluctuations.
Agree. Feel free to mute. You pitched that a little bit differently, and like when you mentioned it pre-show, the idea was that Apple might have too many plates spinning in the air, and that idea set me off a little bit, because Apple has essentially a product line 1/100th the size of companies that are 1/50th its size, and like the idea that Apple couldn't manage this because it's just too many things to deal with, that I reject. That it could introduce a different kind of strain to executives who aren't used to this business model, that's something it's certainly a possibility. It's certainly a possibility. And I think that we might have even gotten some glimpses of that when we hear about Tim Cook sending notes to the Hollywood people, telling
them
to be nicer.
That was one of the seeds of this article, is that behind the scenes frustration. Hardware is easy. Hardware is beautiful. It's cool. Once you figure out how to design it, it's easy to manufacture. It's easy to market and ship. People love walking out of the store with a MacBook or an iPhone under their arms. But there's going to be a lot of people who are going to like Apple's content, and there are going to be people who are not going to like certain shows. There's going to be critics who are not going to like certain shows. There's going to be a pretty serious analysis, and that's being a distraction. Apple's going to have to grow a new, thicker skin, I think, and be able to rule with this. You know, really? Apple says they always make the best, but there's no such thing as 100% best when it comes to TV production. There's people's vagaries and capriciousness.
Well, gosh darn it, I've got to agree with that too.
There's taste.
You're spoiling my tension.
Okay, remember that the iPod was destined to fail, and the iPhone was destined to fail, and the iPad had a really stupid name and was destined to fail. So,
yeah, but this is different, Kelly. This is potentially different, because what John is talking about is simply Apple dealing with criticisms in a subjective world. I mean, like, come on, the iPhone was objectively awesome. Objectively. Right. Yes. It was objectively awesome.
How do you fix it? Suppose there's one of these shows that's a real bomb and critics hate it and viewers hate it. What do you do about that? Do you just smile and roll with it and say, we'll do better next time? Or do you try to spend endless management hours and meetings trying to fix it?
I don't know.
How many hours did they spend meeting about the failure of the iPod sock?
I bet that was dealt with pretty quickly. You know, it's actually, how did Steve Jobs, like, that came out under Steve's watch.
Mm-hmm.
How did he let that?
You know what your iPod needs? A sock.
How did he let that happen? So, but listen, check this out. Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when, I'm totally drawing a blank. What was Kevin Spacey's show?
House of Cards,
right? That was the breakout original content for Netflix, right?
Yes. That was the point when everybody went, are you watching this? Have you seen this? And there was a lot of buzz around a show that was not, air quotes,
right. That's not
TV.
The point, though. That's not the point. The point is that I remember Kevin Spacey and I remember the directors being interviewed over, like, the content of the show and how it was edgy. Mm-hmm. And they were asked, you know, like, does Netflix basically mess with you? Mm-hmm. And they say, no, they just let us do our thing. And that's, I think, one reason why so many of these shows from Amazon, from Hulu, from Netflix, one reason why we've seen so many good shows is that they haven't been managed by the suits.
Mm-hmm.
The suits haven't messed with the creatives. At least that's the way it seems. It's certainly that way at Netflix, and I would presume it's that way to some extent at Amazon and Hulu, simply judging from the quality of the shows. And I am fearful that the suits at Apple, or, you know, the nerdware.
Brian. Yes. Thank you.
For?
For warming up to my thesis.
Well, yeah, you pitched it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I put it in terms of a lot of the new plates are going to be spinning more and creating more frustration and anxiety. That was just a metaphor. The meat of the article was what we talked about.
All right. Fair enough. Well, then I've got to, you spoiled my tension. I'm really mad now.
Now he's mad for a whole nother reason, and it's because he couldn't get mad. Way to flip that, John. I see what you did there. While I agree that it could be a different kind of tension, like, it certainly isn't like Apple's never heard criticism. It's certainly not like Apple's never heard they're going to fail, and it doesn't matter who was in charge. All that matters is that at various points in Apple's history, there have been various levels of credibility for that. Because sometimes they're going to fail, like, sounded a lot more legitimate than it does today.
Apple's criticism
in the past has been things like people complaining that this lightning connector obsoletes the 30-pin connector and they have to buy a new set of connectors, and so we're going to do a class action lawsuit. You know, that can roll off your...
I've got a better analogy.
So go ahead, Brian.
A better analogy. The iPhone 5C. That met with some pretty fierce criticism, but very few people were saying that the iPhone was dead. They were saying that this is not a good iPhone.
Right.
Right? And that is closer to analogy. I mean, like, it's one thing if Jennifer Aniston's show comes out and it's not good. Mm-hmm. Right. And then that turns into Apple's going to fail at video. That's the that's to your point, Kelly. But if some people like Jennifer's show and mm-hmm. they don't like Ron Moore's show or vice versa mm-hmm. or whatever, that's a lot different. I mean, it's a subjective aspect, and there's going to be lots of little pieces of this. And I think that's what John's talking about. And I think that's what makes it different from the kinds of criticisms they've had to deal with in the past.
And I can get with that, but it seems like, I mean, Apple's been criticized as long as it's been Apple. Like, so it doesn't seem like it would be new to be criticized. So that's okay. The thing. And plus this is, I mean, because when I look at it, I'm just looking at it as this is a new thing that Apple hasn't done before that others have found success with. Because remember, there were MP3s before the iPod, there were cell phones before the iPhone, and there were tablets before the iPad. And when Apple decided each of these markets was a place that they wanted to be, people went, why would you do that? That is ridiculous. And there was criticism about every one of those things when they did it. Because yes, while the iPhone was in fact objectively awesome, people were like, what are you doing? You make computers, knock it off, stay in your lane, whatever. And so that was the thing that I was getting to, is like, it's not like this is the first time somebody has said, why are you doing this? You should stop. What's different Kelly, about this is that Kelly, it's not
Kelly.
What?
We John. Have to understand the nature of the criticism. Apple's trying to be family friendly. They're trying to be the Hallmark. And you have to balance that against good drama and tension and excitement and viewer loyalty and appeal. And they're caught in the middle there. And no matter which way they go, they're going to get criticized.
Right. If they show anything that could be construed as HBO content, people are going to freak out. And if there's an utter lack of HBO content, people are going to freak out. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Not enough people caught fire. Not enough people were naked. Not enough violence was happening.
That's
obviously
likely to
this
be
is a service that will fail.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen much discussion of that two-edged sword.
Well, that's because we don't know what they've got yet. All we've heard is these rumors about it. And as soon as everything comes out turns out that everything is rated G,
we know that Apple wants to be family friendly. We know that Tim Cook is put his nose in and said, you
this
know,
is what we hear.
I humbly suggest we don't have enough information to keep beating on this dead horse.
We do not.
So what I'd like to do now is talk about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Capterra. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. Capterra has over 750,000 reviews of software from actual users of that software. You can find anything you're looking for because there are more than 700 categories to choose from to make an informed decision. Everything from great big categories like email marketing to something very, very specific like optometry practice management software. No matter what kind of software you need, Capterra makes it very easy to discover the right solution fast. You can go to capterra.com/TDO for free today and find the right tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Capterra.com/TDO for TDO listeners. That's CAPTERRA.com/TDO. Capterra is software selection simplified, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Our second sponsor is ExpressVPN. And, you know, if you listen to the show, you know that lots of people have some piece of your data, whether they have it and did something irresponsible with it, or they got it through some sort of unsavory means, or you didn't even know they had it in the first place. On top of all of the tracking that social media sites are doing, you need to be able to at least monitor where that data is going, if possible. And one of the ways you can take that back is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run in the background, and it only takes one click to be protected, whether it's your iPad or your iPhone or your computer. ExpressVPN anonymizes all of your browsing by encrypting all of your data and even hides your public IP address. And all of this comes from the number one Tech Radar rated VPN service for less than $7 a month. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you do. Protect your activity by going to expressvpn.com
TDO. If you do that, TDO listeners, you will get 3 months free with a 1 year package. So go to expressvpn.com/TDO for 3 months free. And we'd like to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other topic is a piece about Tim Berners-Lee and his statement about the web and how it's sort of turned into something he didn't really anticipate. Right, Brian?
Sure. We're going to hand this off to me, huh? Let's see. He said right that, quote, while the web has created opportunity, given marginalized groups a voice, and made our daily lives easier, it has also created opportunity for scammers, given a voice to those who spread hatred. I would add lies to that, by the way. And made all kinds of crime easier to commit. He said, and again I'm quoting, that it's imperative, quote unquote, that the web was made available to everyone. Essentially what he's saying is that it's gone off in a direction that it does not live up to the promise and potential that he thought that it had. Mm-hmm. And he's right.
I would agree. Yeah. That's a very easy argument to make, I think. So what part of that, I think, is what we talk about a lot here with companies being more transparent about data or data breaches or what it is they're doing with information, because there's a lot of not even unsavory intent out there as much as there is, we'll call it.
Well, there's a lot of unsavory intent out there.
Well, I'm not even talking about that part, though. I'm just talking about like a company that wants to make money and goes, well, it's not so bad to just sort of get this info or to hand it off to Facebook because the Facebook check won't bounce or whatever it is that they're doing. And not a lot of users are able, and not a lot of users are aware of that or know that it's happening or know what, if anything, they can do to stop it. And that's before you even get to things like hate groups who are on Twitter and nobody seems to be able to figure out how to get rid of them, and on
the,
and on.
The one of the things that Tim Berners-Lee mentioned that that marginalized people have been given a voice, but marginalized people also includes a lot of hate, because those have been marginalized groups.
That's true.
Right? I mean, you know, white supremacists were largely a marginalized group until the last 2 or 3 years. And for just for instance. And I think that one of the issues is that, like, here in the States in particular, we've largely had a hands-off approach to regulation. There's a lot of resistance to government regulating the internet per se. There have been a lot of really, really good people championing the premise of a laissez-faire approach to the internet. And then, of course, we've had technology companies that just rose out of nowhere to achieve fabulous wealth, who have been also pushing the keep your hands off this thing. And it's like the internet has grown way faster than society and government's ability to really get a grasp of it.
And Roger then, that.
And then we have countries like China that use the internet to lie to their own people, and other authoritarian regimes that do the same thing. And we saw in Myanmar, we saw the government, or at least parts of the government, use the internet, use Facebook to incite violence against one of the subgroups within their
own
country.
Against a group of citizens by a group of citizens.
Yeah. And so like, I mean, like, those are like multiple sets of problems. And then you've got, of course, what the Russians have been doing. We've got what the U.S. did when the U.S. used the interwebs in order to put Stuxnet onto the Iranian nuclear the equipment, the what was mm-hmm. it, the things, the diffuser, the centrifuges, right? Where they like destroyed them.
Yeah.
And you know, we might, a lot of the U.S. might think that that's awesome, but then, you know, there's certainly a part of the world that doesn't think that's awesome. So you've got like governments doing different things. You've got corporations doing different things. You've got we the people doing things. And then you've got all of these marginalized people, some of whom are awful. And then some of whom are who are not causing a problem, who are getting this voice. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of there are a lot of forces involved here.
There really are. And the thing that he says, like, it can the way that he phrased it, it's one of those things, like, the great thing about the internet is that everybody's voice is equal. And the terrible thing about the internet is that everybody's voice is equal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the one hand, I want to support that. But on the other hand, like, I feel like in some cases, like, there is something that should be done. What that is, you know, I'm not 100% on, and I'm not going to go develop internet policy for companies or something like that. But, you know, I feel like there's got to be a middle ground between the Wild West that most of the web is, or the internet is, and someplace like China. Like, somewhere in the middle, there's a much happier place for everybody, it seems, at least to me.
Well, we're never going to hit that sweet spot. You know, I always talk about the importance of I note that I'm a capitalist, but I believe in a managed capitalism, a managed market. Mm-hmm. And I say that there should always be a tension between the forces of a free market and the forces of regulation. And there should always be tension, like because as soon as you get too much of one or the other, there's going to be a problem. And the same thing is true with the internet. There's no perfect state that we can achieve. And we're nowhere near a perfect state. And I don't think we will ever be able to find a perfect state. But I do think that we probably need to see some regulation. But then, of course, our regulation is going to conflict with the regulations that already exist in other countries, in particular, the authoritarian regimes, communist regimes, things like that. Right. So, you know, yay, there's that.
I'm with you. John, right. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, we talked about earlier about everybody having equal voice, but I think the problem is there's too many listeners. There's too much commerce of listening.
What?
A good example is, well, when your life is around family and work, you're not exposed to every little thing that goes on. If somebody sneezes in New Delhi, you know, then you get upset. Yesterday, Mitt Romney blew out some birthday candles and the internet went crazy. It lost its mind because of the way that Mitt Romney picked up the candles and blew them out one by one. This should not be a thing. The way somebody blows out a birthday candle is not something that the internet needs to go crazy over, but it does. And so we're exposed to the idiosyncrasies of a lot of different people that we have never been exposed to before because our family and work circle was smaller. And so we become more vastly irritated by every little thing that's thrust upon us by the internet. And it creates a certain level of irritability, I think.
Fair enough. I don't know that I'm going to blame there being too many listeners. But you still make some good points.
Thank you.
Peace in our times. We have peace in our times.
I'm 2-0 with Brian today. Yay!
Our long TMO nightmare is over.
It's my lack of sleep.
That's what it is. Brian's just worn down. He hasn't been sleeping. So I would like to thank Brian and his Daylight Saving Time hangover for joining me today.
Indeed. Happy to be here. And to everyone who dealt with the noise and some of the other issues that we had, I apologize. Weather and technical issues abound.
Yes. Someday we will do a show about the tragedy that sometimes goes on in trying to get one out the door. Thank you, John, for joining me today in the face of the weather that you're facing, horizontal snow, among other things.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you for that. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.